We're going to begin here at the bottom of Ayin Dalet Amud Bet by the two dots. The Gemara is now discussing the latter half of the Mishnah here, where Kodshim got mixed up with other Kodshim. In this case, an instance where Mino b'Mino, that it was the same type of Zevach that got mixed up. Our Mishnah suggests that what you do is you bring the Korbanot anonymously. According to Rashi, they mean Leim the Shame, the Balim, without mentioning the actual name of the Balim. For whomever the Balim is, this is brought. According to Tosafot, we say absolutely nothing. We just do it anonymously and do it silently, and the Tnai Beit Din says that whoever it's ro'oi for, it comes ahead and it takes care of. The Gemara asks a basic question. What happened to the smicha over here? There's a requirement by many of the korbanot in Kodshim that you're required to do smicha on the korban, and the balim must do the smicha by the korban yachid, by the korban chatat yachid, by the korban ola of the yachid, by the korban shlamim of the yachid. There's a requirement of smicha by the balim. Now it's fine if you want to bring them the shame balim anonymously, and we don't know who the balim are, but you're going to prevent or make it impossible now for the balim to do smicha over here. So how are we going to solve this problem? Amar of Yosef, Rav Yosef says it's not a problem. Our mission is talking about the korban nashim. Then about women who brought a korbanot. Women are not required to do smicha on their korbanot. Men are. So our Mishnah will only be addressing korbanot of women that got mixed up. Because over there, there's not this ikuvah, there's not this problem of the smicha. Where it says, aval bekorban nashim lo. The conclusion from this would be that if it was men's korbanot that got mixed up, it would be problematic because of this issue of the smicha. The smicha would be ma'akev to the point that we wouldn't allow you to take care of the mix-up by just offering the korbanot anonymously. Eit ve'abaye. Abaye challenges this inference of the Gemara, that by Karban Anashim, we would not allow such a thing to transpire. He brings a Braita. Braita we'll see in a couple minutes is not so straightforward, but we'll read it the way that it's laid out right now, which is Karban Yachid, Shintarev Karban Yachid. An individual's Karban that got mixed up with another individual's Karban. We're assuming here of the same min. Karban Sibur, Shintarev Karban Sibur. Or, the Karban of a Tzibur that got mixed up with another Karban, a communal offering that was mixed up with another communal offering. V'Karban Yachid, V'Karban Tzibur, Shnitavru, Zebezeh. Or an individual's offering that got mixed up with the communal offering. So in all of these instances, we have some sort of mix-up. We're going to assume that the Karbanot are the same min, the same type of Zevach. So for instance, by the case of Chataot, for instance, Kanon, the Sa'ir of the Nasi, which is a Chatat, and the Sa'ir of the Regalim. So those are two Sirim. One is a communal offering, one is the offering of an individual. If they got mixed up, or the possibility that they were olot. The olot of the tzibur got mixed up with the olot of a yachid. In this instance, the Braita tells us, what do you do? You do, notain dalet matanot mikol echad ve'echad. You have four matanot from each one of the animals. You have two animals over here. From each one of these animals, you're going to shecht them and do arba matanot. For the chatat, that means arba matanot on the karnot. For the olot, as Rashi points out, that means shtayim shehein arba. Two that become four. But that's what it means if you do arba. The four matnot here, you do the proper matnot dam for each one of them. If it's olot, you do it like the olot, shtayim shehein arba. If they're chatot, they got mixed up, then you do them like a chatat, the arba matnot or the arba karnot. Now, im natan matana mikol echad yatsa. It's sufficient. If he gives one matana from each of those two behemot, that's sufficient. That we learned earlier in the Masechta. Machloket beit hillel and beit shammai with regards to chatot. What is the minimum amount of matanot dam that make it bidi eved kasher? According to beit hillel, one is sufficient. According to beit shammai, you need two. By all other korbanot, everybody agrees that matana achat is sufficient. So over here, it's saying matana achat. So for ula, it could be according to everybody. For chatot, it only can be according to beit hillel, which is that we're talking about a matana achat here. V'im natan arba mikulan yatsa. And if he gives four from the combination of them, then he's Yotze. This part of the Gemara, or the Braita, is very difficult. The Rashi, Tosafot, Nashitu, Megetzer, all read it different ways. Rashi, which is not found by our Rashi over here, but rather is in the Rashi of the Ktiv Yad. Over there it says, Mizeshnaim, Umizeshnaim. The combined blood of these two karbanot, you give two from this one and two from this one. You have four matanot, and then each one of the karbanot will then claim two of those matanot. Tosus asked right away on Rashi, what do you need two matanot for? Why are you requiring, or what is this idea that when they got mixed together, you give four matanot, two for this one and two for that one? Why is that relevant? Why is two a number that is relevant at all? Now true, if they were olot, maybe it makes sense. Then you're giving shtei matanot for this one and shtei matanot from this other one. But the case could be a case of chatot, as Rashi already mentioned on the top of the Amud. If it's chatot, you require four from each, or four from the combined entity. The combined entity, if you have four of them together, that's as if you are the bulel, they were mixed together well. If they're mixed together well, then when you do the arba matanot, it counts for both karbanot. What's the idea that there's two for this one and two for that one? So Tosafot, based on that question, says that can't be the explanation of the Gemara, and he says, I'll tell you what the arba means here. The arba is referencing back to the different cases that are mentioned in Braita. The Braita says, karban yachid, mixed up with a karban yachid. Karban sibor, mixed up with a karban sibor. Then a karban sibor and a yachid mixed up. So over there, in each of these cases, you have two karbanot yachid and two karbanot sibor. One where we're talking about Karban Yachid versus Karban Yachid, another one where it's Karban Yachid versus Sibor. Same thing with the Karban Sibor. You have one Karban Sibor where it's mixed up with another Sibor, and another Karban Sibor that's mixed up with the Yachid. So there are four Karbanot. When it says Arban Matanot here, it means four Matanot from these four different Behemot over here. So Tosfos says at this point, the Gemara is assuming not that it's two that got mixed up, but four that got mixed up. If you have four that get mixed up, and then you do four Matanot, one for each of those Behemot, that would be sufficient, that would work. And his problem with Rashi is whose opinion is Rashi following? If he's following Beit Shammai, and therefore that's why he requires a minimum of two here for each Korban, we already know from the previous statement of the Braita that Matana Achat was enough. Matana Achat is enough, is only according to Beit Hillel, that's not according to Beit Shammai. Because of that, Tosfos reads the Gemara in a difficult way, but to avoid the problem of Rashi is saying that two Matanot for this one, two Matanot for that one, he reads it to say that we're talking about now four different Korbanot, and then the four Korbanot, each one of them gets one Matana if you do four from a combined receptacle of dam, or a combined matanot of these four animals. The Shita Mikubetzit brings Tosafot's question on Rashi, brings Tosafot's answers, and he says about Tosafot's answer, v'dochak. It's a big dochak what Tosafot says. And therefore, the Shita Mikubetzit amends the girsa in our Gemara to read, l'chein nira de gersinen im natan matana achat mikol echad yatza inami, im natan shnayim mikulan yatza. He changes the girsa of the Braita to read that if he gave two from the combined entity, that would make sense. We're talking about two carbonates all the way along. So either you do matanot, the proper matanot for each one individually, or if they get mixed together, or if they're not mixed together, if you do one from each one of them, that's sufficient. If they're mixed together and you do two matanot, one for each of them, that's also fine. And that would follow the position of Beit Hillel and be consistent in the flow of the Braita. So everybody has an explanation. Each one of them is a weakness. Rashi and Tosafot preserve the girsaot that's in our Gemara. The weakness in Rashi's pshat is, where does he get the shnaim from? Again, I think you could explain that we're talking about a lot, and shnaim shenar bar for this one, shnaim shenar bar for the other one, although Rashi himself mentioned that there's a possibility of chatot here as well. So that would be problematic for Rashi. Tosafot preserves the girsa as well, but then he has to reinterpret the braita from shifting from time at two behemot to four behemot, and that's the weaknesses in his pshat. The Shita Mikubetzit has the easiest pshat, but he does change the girsa. He says that the girsa is that it's two matanot, not four, and that's why it's like they're consistent with the rest of that braita, that you have two animals. Either you give four matanot from each one of them properly. If you gave one matanot from each one of them independently, that's b'diavad okay. And if they got combined, and you gave one matana for each of them from the combined number, that would also work. That's where the Shita Mikubetzit reads our Braita. So now, at this point in time, we have a Karban Yachid that got mixed up with a Karban Yachid, and a Karban Sibor that got mixed up with a Karban Sibor. A biased question is from the Karban Yachid and not from the Karban Sibor. Even though there are Karbanot Sibor that do require smicha, those are the Chataot Pnimiot, but over here, our Braita cannot be talking about Chataot Pnimiot, because the demand in the Braita is, number one, four Matanot. Four Matanot are only relevant in the Mizbech Chitzon, not for those Chataot that go Pnimiot. Chadot Pimiot to have a requirement of seven Azot, whether it's in Ben Abadim or on the Prochet, and then on the Mizbeach Azahav. They have multiple Matanot, not just four. And number two, as we know, by Chadot Pimiot, Matanah Achad Mehem Me'akevet. Any one of the Matanot left out is problematic. Over here, we're saying one Matanah would suffice for this Karban. So we're clearly not talking about Chadot Pimiot. And therefore, the question of Abai is from the Karban Yachid, not from the Karban Atzibur. And in the Karban Yachid, we see two Karbanot of Yachid got mixed up together. And since they got mixed together, we say, go ahead and be Makriv them, each one individually, do the matanot dam for each one of them individually, and the balim would be yotze, that's no problem. Well, what about the smicha problem? What happened to smicha? How come this bright is okay and doesn't have any issue with the smicha? So what are you going to answer up? That here we're talking about karban nashim. You want to say over here that we're talking about a woman's karban. If you skip down a little bit past the position of Rabbi over here, which we'll come back to in a second, Ketana Yachid Dumya de Tzibur. You have a Yachid, a parallel in the brightness between the Yachid's Korban and the Tzibur's Korban. Matzibur Gavre, just like the Tzibur is the communal offerings brought by the men, Af Yachid Gavre, so too the Korban of the individual is brought by the Gavre, is brought by the individuals. So this is the question of Abaye from the Braita. Now the Braita continues, which we're going to go back to in a second, which is going to provide the answer to Abaye's question, because the next part of the Braita is very difficult. That says, Vamed Devarim Amurim. The Braita says, when is this true? Shintarvu Chaim, when they got mixed up when they were alive. So they got mixed up when they're alive, each animal is still independent, and therefore you can bring the matanot from each one independently. Aval Nitarvu Shchutim, if they got mixed up after they were already dead, after the Shchita, Notein Abar Matanot Mikulan, then you take from the combined dam of all four of them, you do four matanot from all of them. If you bring one matanah from each of them, from them, out of that mixture, that's sufficient. So the Braita distinguishes between when they're alive, where they're separate entities, versus when they're already shachut, where they're a single entity. So the Gemara's question, we're going to see the second Rav is going to raise this issue. Why is that true? Why is it only true when they're alive that they're separate entities, and when they're dead that they're a single entity? You do have an interim stage where they're already dead, and they could be separate entities. For instance, we shechted each korban independently, and we have a kos, we have a cup, a receptacle for each one of them that has the blood in it. You still have four separate cups. Each korban is still independent. So why are you saying after shechita that they're not independent? That will be the question of Rav in a second. Just reading through the Braita piece by piece to show you how the Gemara is going to develop. And the last piece, which the Gemara will deal with the way end, is Rabbi Omer, Ro'im et ha-matana im yesh ba gedei lazeh u'gedei lazeh. We look at the matana and say, is it sufficient? Then one matana is enough to cover the multiple carbonate that have been combined here. Then it's kshira. Then it works. Im lav, if that's not the case, then it's psula. So that'd be the Braita as a whole. There are three parts to the Braita. There's the first part of the Braita, which is talking about animals still alive. They got mixed up. Yachid, yachid, sibur, sibur, yachid, sibur. Over there, we say the best thing is to bring each one of them individually and give four matanot from each one of them. Bidyeved, if you gave one matana from each of them independently, that would be sufficient. And if they got combined, then you have the machloket and the girsa, whether it's four matanot or two matanot. But then again, you do either four being one from each individually, according to the Tosfot, according to Rashi, two for each one. According to Shikun Betzer, we're doing two matanot, one for each one, and that'll be sufficient. Then there's the next stage in the Braita that says when they're dead. They're dead. The assumption of the Braita is that they're all mixed up, even though we said that there's a possibility that that wouldn't be the case. But here, a Braita is assuming that they're all mixed together. If they're all mixed together, then you give four matanot. You give four matanot that'll cover all the carbonot from there. And again, if you did only one, it also cover all the carbonot, because we assume bila that they're mixed properly together if they're all mixed up. When you do one matana, it covers all the other carbonot. Rabbi just qualifies that and says, when you do that single matana, there better be enough dam in order for it to cover the multiple carbonot over here. Now, that's Abaye's question on Rabbi Yosef. So Abaye is saying, look, I have a carbonot of a gavre, and that's because, as we said before, Tani Yachid, Domiya de Tibor, Ma Tibor Gavre, Av Yachid Gavre. So Amar Rav Ava comes to answer on behalf of Rav Yosef and says, Abaye, I don't understand. Vitisbara, is this right that really makes sense? Hamatart Stoy? This Braita is easy to read. It makes sense before we ever get down to your deal. Does it make any sense over here? Tiktani, because it says, only when they got mixed up when they were alive. Aval nitarvu shchutim, lo. When they got mixed up when they were dead, then it doesn't work. And he says, mali chayim, mali shchutim. Why do you say, what's the difference between when they're alive and when they're dead? When they're alive, they're distinguishable. And when they're dead, they could also be distinguishable. Each one could have the matanat adam or the kabbalat adam done in a separate receptacle. And just like they're independent bodies, when they were alive, they're still independent in terms of their dam after they're dead. Why is the Braita making the threshold of difference the point of when they were shechut, when they got shechted? That's not the point. The point is only when they get mixed up together. They get mixed up together. Obviously, when they're alive, they can't get mixed up together because they're always independent bodies. After they're dead, there is that threshold where if the dam is kept separate, then they are independent entities. If the dam is mixed together, then they are joint entities. So the threshold is not at the point of shechita. It's much later on. And therefore, Rava rereads the Braita like this. To read it like this. What Rava says the entire Braita is speaking about after Shechita. And there's a distinguished, that threshold that we just mentioned, that's what the Braita is saying. When they are after Shechita, but they look like they're still alive, why? Bikosot, because each one is in a separate kos. So even after Shechita, there's a point in time when they still look as independent entities and still are independent entities, and that's when before the kosot got mixed up. Aval bebolel, if the kosot got mixed together, notein dal matonot to kulam. Then you have to give four from all, for all of them from this one cup. Vimtan matanacha, if you give a single maton, for all of them, it's Yotzei. So this is, Rava reads the Braita, we're talking about all after Shechita. After Shechita, Smicha is not relevant anymore. Smicha is only relevant before Shechita. So they did the Smicha, and then the animals got mixed up afterwards. The Braita is talking entirely after death. It says in the Braita Chayim that they're alive. No, it's there after Shechita, like they're still alive. What's the case when they're like they're still alive? That's in a case in which they are separate entities still. They're still in their separate kosot, and they're independent entities. In that case, it looks like they're a Chayim, but not that they're literally alive. And therefore, Rava takes away the question that is being posed against Rav Yosef, because over here the Braita is not addressing our issue. The Braita is addressing after Shechita. After Shechita doesn't involve Smicha. From this you can't prove anything about Smicha. And therefore Rav Yosef's answer according to Rava will still stand, which is that our Mishnah is talking about the Korbanot of Nashim where there is no Smicha. But in Ochanami, if there was a need for Smicha, like a man's Korban, you would not be able to bring it. You'd run into a problem. Tosafot is a very large Tosafot you see over here. Tosafot is discussing throughout Shas that the Gemara asks about this issue of Smicha. In many different places it asks about it and has different solutions in different places. Tosafot comes down to two basic formulations about, he says, what is the Gemara asking when it says, V'habai Smicha? When the Gemara says it needs Smicha, okay, so it needs Smicha. don't do the smicha, everything will be fine. Why is the Gemara saying that if you don't have smicha, all of a sudden there's a problem? So Tosfos gives two formulations. It's found about in the middle of the widest lines in the Tosafot on the Ayin Hei Omid Aleph. And over there he says that the first way that he interprets it is that the reason that the Gemara is asking about smicha is because there's another. It's a symptom of another problem. The symptom of another problem is that there's some problem with the balut, with the ownership over here. We're not really clear that the owner is either still alive or really owns the animal. And since there's another question, the smicha is just a symptom or evidence of another issue. Well, it needs smicha because we need the balim. But why can't he do smicha? Because the balim aren't here. Well, if the balim aren't here, then we have another issue. That other issue, are they really still alive? Are they real owners of the animal? So it's a symptom of a problem, which is that the balim aren't around. Tosa says that explanation will only apply to chataot. The issue then would only be for chataot because chatat shemetu balea, chatat whose owners passed away, the korban can't be brought anymore. It's lemita, it goes lemita. So therefore, the other safek about the balut is indicated through the inability to do smicha. The inability to do smicha is a symptom of the fact that we don't know about where the owner is or whether the owner is really still alive. And because of that, that's why we don't want the korban to go. Not because of the smicha itself, but because of what the smicha indicates. That's one explanation. Tosfos also gives a second explanation. He says that when you are faced with the option of accomplishing the korban with smicha and without smicha, we're going to force you or we're going to make you opt for doing it with smicha. Even though it's a longer route and it's a more difficult route, we're still going to make you opt for that. So in our case over here, since you can bring the korban without smicha, or you can bring the korban with smicha, so for our instance, you have men who bring korbanot, and if we just allow them to do it anonymously and bring it for whichever balim is done, there will be no smicha. So we say, no, better yiru ashti stavu, that they should go and graze until they get a mom, redeem them, and then bring the korban properly for the each balim, and they'll do smicha. If the option is to do it with smicha, even though it's the longer route, or do it without smicha, we're going to opt to do it with smicha. By women, where there's no chiyuv of smicha, then we'll do it right away, because there's no challenge between whether to do it with smicha or do it without smicha. In an instance where we can never solve the problem, and we can never do smicha, then we'll tell you to go ahead and do it, even though the smicha is not accomplished. So in the second answer of Tosfot, the first one just says it's a symptom of a problem, and the second one, it's a question of lechatchila versus bidyeved. If lechatchila you could do it with smicha, make you do whatever it takes to get it to be done with smicha. Bidyeved, you could have done without smicha, we're not going to let you go the route of bidyeved when you have the lechatchila option. On the other hand, if there's no other option, there's no option to do it with smicha, then we're going to say to you, do it now without the smicha, because no matter what you do, no matter what the solution is, there'll never be smicha. Better to do it now anonymously, and we'll be, even though you can't do smicha at this point in time. So there are two ways that Tosfos interprets the Gemara's question of how by smicha, one being a question symptomatic of another problem of balut, and the other one being an indication of lechatchila versus bidyeved. But not that the Gemara is asking about smicha itself. Smicha is just an indication of these other two issues that are being addressed over here. In the second case, obviously, it's really about smicha, but it's really about the idea of lechatchila versus bidyeved. First case has nothing to do with smicha. Smicha is just indicative or symptomatic of a bigger or broader problem. And that's how Tosfos reconciles between the many different places in Shas where the Gemara asks this question and gives different answers. He says you have to look at each circumstance and see what it is. Are we talking about chatot? Are we talking about olot? Are we talking about a case where there's an ability to rectify it? A case where there is an inability to rectify it? And because of that, you'll come up with different solutions, or the Gemaras will sound different in each of these places. Right now, the Gemara goes back to Rebbe's statement. Rebbe says, if it has enough for each one, then it's kashir. Does Rabbi really have this concept? Vatanya, we have a braita. This is coming up in our Gemara later on. Rabbi says, according to the position of Rebbe Eliezer, here we're talking about the paraduma, the may or the may efer chatat. We say over there that if something else, for instance, fell into the water, and therefore in this mixture you're going to sprinkle it on the individual, you sprinkle it on the individual, you have from the waters of the may chatat, plus whatever got mixed in there together that are going to go onto the Adam. So Rabbi Eliezer says, mitaheret, it works. So Rabbi says, according to Rabbi Eliezer, it can only work if you believe ain't shiur. There's no shiur in terms of the haza'ah. Because if there was a requirement of shiur, how are you sure that you got enough out of the mei chatat in order to be tahor? And again, even if you sprinkle twice, we're still not sure that you reached the shiur that you require. So therefore, Rabbi concludes that Rabbi Eliezer must believe that ain't shiur. There is no shiur. And since there's no shiur, no matter when you dip it in, you get any amount of kol shu on the mei chatat, then you are fine and you are mitaheret. And that's why Rabbi Eliezer believes that even when something else gets mixed in there, as long as you do a hazak kol shu, everything is fine. Now, as Tosfos points out over here, the idea that you only need a kol shu, that's in the sprinkling itself. In the mano, inside of the receptacle that's holding the mechatat, you have to have the shiur. You have to have the proper shiur that can fit into a givo and then sprinkle onto the adam. But in actual carrying out or execution of the sprinkling there, you don't need a shiur. Whatever hits the person, that's enough and sufficient. Our assumption right now is, why does Rebbe say it's good? Because Hazam mechsa kasher u mechsa pasul. That the sprinkling that you're doing, half of it is kasher, is mechatat in it. The other half is pasul, because it's whatever got mixed in with the mechatat. So if that's the case, when you have mechsa kasher, mechsa pasul, Rabbi says, no problem. We just take the kasher part, then everything is fine. And that's what I mean, there ain't la shiur. So why don't you say the same thing over here? When you have the matnot dam over here that you're sprinkling, when we say that the matnot dam, he says you have to have enough of a shiur for both of them in there, why do you need a shiur for both of them? You'll have enough shiur for one, plus whatever else is in there, it's just a pasul. You'll be mechsa kasher, mechsa pasul. That's fine. As long as you get the matanah chat on there, whatever is kasher will work. So just like here by the mechatat, that we say that when there's kasher and pasul mixed up, we just look at the kasher and whatever is pasul falls away. It doesn't have to be 50-50, it can be any percentage. Why don't you say the same thing by the dam here? Whatever dam you need to get on, you need the kosher of the dam to get on this bech. Why do we care if there is enough for both of them or not for both of them? As long as the dam went on and there's belila and there was mixed together, there's no such thing as, you know, oh, this is the kasher, only enough for this one and not for the other one. We'll just say whatever dam got on the mizbech, that came from each one of them, and therefore they don't ruin each other. One doesn't knock out the other. The psul doesn't overcome the kasher here with the two karbanot. One karban does not posel the second karban. So Gemara says, either litvar rab der belezer karmart. One possible answer is that Rebbe is just explained Rebbe Eliezer's position by the mechatat. It's not necessarily his position, he's just telling you, the Rabbi Lazar, that's the din, not that I necessarily hold like that. You're talking about two different issues. One is azat mechatat, and the other one is netina dam on the mizbeach. On terms of hazah, there is no shiur. By netina dam, which I said before is a kol shiur, maybe that's not true. Netina requires that it be visible. And that's what Rashi says over here. Netina dam mizbeach lachud. It's tzarech shiur shirei adam l'shnei ruchot hakeren shel mizbeach. You have to have sufficient dam that when you sprinkle it in shnayim shen arba, that it hits the corner and spreads to the two sides. There's a minimum of that. That can't be a kol shiur, because a kol shiur won't spread across the two karno, across the two edges of the keren. So there is some sort of minimum shiur. Once you have a minimum shiur, then you can't make the same claim anymore. Again, if you have no shiur, then you can say that a mashu got there, a koshu got there, and it doesn't matter what else is there. Over here, where you do have a shiur, then you will have a problem because you have to ensure that a shiur of each korban reached the mizbech or reached the corner of the mizbech. And that's why Rabbi will have the qualification here by the dam that he doesn't have necessarily by the hazah. According to the second answer, when he speaks in Rabbi Lezer's opinion, he believes it also. That's Rebbe's opinion. But that's unique to the Hazav Mechatat. It's not true of the Hazot Dam that we're talking about over here. And therefore, Rebbe in our Breita says that you need a Hazav that's sufficient from each one of the Karbanot. Now we get into the last piece of our Mishnah. The last piece of Mishnah was talking about Maser and Bechor that got mixed up with other Kochim. Amar Rami Bar Chama. Bechor, the Beit Shammai, ain't machilin the Nidot. So we have certain rules about a Bechor. And now Rami Bar Chama is going to say, I know that's true of a Bechor. What's the story of a Tumrat Bechor? Tumrat Bechor is someone who tried to exchange the Bechor onto another animal. And we have a principle at the end of Sefer Vayikra, who utmurato yekodesh. That means both animals become and have Kedushat HaBechor. So the core Bechor, which was the original Bechor, that Rami Bar Chama is going to list out a whole bunch of halachot that apply to it. And he's going to ask, does that also apply to the Tumura over here? So he says, the Bechor of the Beit Shammai, even if it gets a mum in it, and it's mutar l'kohanim to eat it, ein machilin l'nidot. You still can't give it to nidot. It has to be eaten bit tahara. Tmurato mahu. What's the din with regards to its tmura? Next din, b'chor einu nifteh. B'chor cannot be redeemed. Tmurato mahu. Are you allowed to redeem the tmura? B'chor einu nishkal b'litra. When it comes to selling the b'chor, if you have to receive monies for the b'chor because it has a mum in it, and therefore you want to redeem the animal, you may not sell the b'chor to realize the profits in the shuk or on the scales. You have to do it on a piecemeal basis because it's bizui kochim to sell it in the open market like that. So that's true of the b'chor itself. Tmurato mahu. What's the din with the tmura? So Amar Rava, Tanya. We have a brisa. B'chor u'maser k'shehu mishehu mumu. B'chor maser, once they get a mum in them, osim tmura. They can make a tmura. U'tmuratam k'yotzeh b'em. And the tmura have the exact same din as them. So here we're talking about a brisa that explicitly says that this is after there's a mum in the animal. And we see that the brisa says that the tmura is identical to the b'chor. That means if there's a din by the b'chor, there's the same exact din will apply to the tmura. So b'yi rami b'chamo. Hitpis b'chor lebedek b'ayit ma'u shishko b'litro. So now Rabbi Yehoshua presents a new question. Someone who gave over the value of his bechor to Berek HaBayit. Here's a kohen. He got a bechor. It has a mum in it now. And it's his monetary. He can do whatever he wants with it. So he decides, I'm going to maktish it and give it to Hekdesh. Hekdesh to Berek HaBayit. Mashu ishko b'litra. Are you allowed to put it on the scales then and sell it in the open shuk? What is the reason that you can't sell the bechor normally in the open shuk? It's because all the benefit accrues to the kohen. The kohen is the beneficiary of a bechor b'amum. So we're not going to be mevazek kochim to enrich the kohen. But over here, that's not the case. The money now he gave to Hekdesh. So now if we sell it at a better price in the shuk, the beneficiary or the benefit accrues to Hekdesh. So maybe we should be Mevazik Kodshim in order to do that. So we say, either Rav Kod Hekdesh Adif, the benefit of Hekdesh is more valuable, and therefore we Mevazik the Bechor to sell it in this manner in order that Hekdesh benefits. Oh, Dilma Ziluta the Bechor Adif. Or maybe the Bizui of the Bechor is more important, that we're not allowed to do that, even for the benefit of Bedek Abayit. Am Rav Yossi Bar Zvido Tashma. This is our Mishnah. We discussed this when we had the Mishnah. I explained to this. Rashi talks about the Girsa of the Mishnah not being Machru over there because of this problem. The Gemara says, what about our Mishnah? It Arvu Bechor B'Masir. If Zvachim got mixed up with the Bechor Masir, Yeru Achi Stavu. We wait until they get a mum in them. V'yochlu K'Bechor B'Masir. And then everything has to be eaten B'Kedushat Bechor Masir. Number one is that you're not allowed to perform Gizan Avoda with them. Number two, the other din would be that you can't sell it. L'Belitra, you can't sell it in the open shuk. Lav the Memra. Isn't that coming to teach us? The Enu Nishkal B'Litra. Must be that you can't put them on a scale. Our Mishnah seems to indicate that when you have Zvachim mixed up with the Bechor Masir, that you can't sell it in the open shul. Why? Over there, it's the benefit of Hekdesh. Let's think about this for a second. When you have a case of just Bechor, all the benefit accrues to the Kohen. So we say, don't sell it in a manner that's Mevazeh the Bechor, because we don't want to do something that's Mevazeh Kodshim in order to benefit the Kohen. Over here, we have Zvachim and the Bechor Masir mixed together. The benefit will accrue to both. Meaning that the Zvachim, if they're sold at a higher price, all that money is going to go to Hekdesh. The Bechor, when sold at a higher price, that will go to the Kohen. So I have to make a decision now. I have a Bechor mixed up in here. I can either not sell everything in the shuk, and everything will get a lower price. That means that Hekdesh loses, and the coin loses. Or, I could sell everything in the shuk at a better price. Hekdesh will benefit. Yes, the coin will benefit, and yes, there'll be a little bit of bizu b'chor, but maybe we should do that, because Hekdesh also benefits over there. So our Mishnah says, no, don't do that. You're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to be mevazeh the b'chor to benefit the other zvachim. You're not allowed to be mevazeh the b'chor in order to benefit Hekdesh. That'll be the answer to your question. Rami Barchama, you're asking, if you give your b'chor to Hekdesh, can you go and be mevazeh for the benefit of Hekdesh? Our Mishnah says, no. So Rav Huna, Rav Chizkiya, Talmidei Rabbi Yirmiyahu Amrei, Midomi. How can you compare the cases? Hotam shtei kedushot u'shnei gufim, av shtei kedushot u'guf echad. Cases aren't comparable. In the case in our Mishnah, you're talking about, number one, two different kedushot. You're talking about a bechor and a maser and other karbonot. And number two, you're talking about two different animals. You're talking about an animal that's for one zevach and another animal that is for the bechor. So you're talking about two entities and two different kedushot. Over there, we're going to say, don't be mevazeh the bechor to benefit another party. We say, ein adam chata lalolo. That we don't say a person does a sin and it's not to his benefit. Nobody sins to help someone else out. So over here, we're not going to be mevazeh the bechor in order to benefit the kodshim, which are a separate guf and a separate kedusha. Our case over here, or the case that Rami Bracham question is positing, is about a single guf. We're talking about the bechor itself. Now, the same entity that you're going to be mevazeh in is going to give the benefit to Hekdesh. If you're mevazeh in this bechor, Hekdesh itself will benefit from that bizoy, not some other animal, not some other Hekdesh. The problem is that we're talking about shtei kedushot. We're talking about the kedushat bechor and kedushat bedek abayit, which are separate entities. You're doing a bizoy in the kedushat bechor in order to benefit bedek abayit, which is a different form of kedusha. So matkif la Rav Yossi bar Avin, ma ilu amar hivduli bechor shit pisu de bedek abayit, klum shomim lo? If a person comes along and says, listen to me, do me a favor, redeem the bechor that I was matpis the bedek abayit. Case of Rami Barchama, where the Kohen gives the benefit of the bechor bal mum to Hekdesh, and now he comes along, let me redeem this. If I redeem it, then all that money is going to go to Hekdesh, it's to the benefit. Now we know that it says in the Torah, Loi Padeh, that you're not allowed to redeem a Bechor. So what are we going to allow? We're going to say to this guy, go ahead and redeem it, because Hekdesh is going to benefit? Since when do we allow you to violate an Isur in order to benefit Hekdesh over here? So say, that's the same thing over here. When you're talking over here, why don't we say the same thing? Lishko Belitra, to go sell it in the Shuk to benefit Hekdesh? Why are we going to allow you to violate an Isur in order to benefit Hekdesh? The Gemara says the two are different. Hefdo, you want to redeem it, Rahman Amar Loti Padeh. You're talking about an Isur Doraito. Isur d'oraita, we're not allowed to violate an Isur d'oraita. Bizi kodshim, at least the way Rashi explains it over here, this idea of not being a mezalzel in the Bechor and not being selling it on the litra is a din d'rabbanon. A din d'rabbanon, maybe we would violate the din d'rabbanon. We waive the din d'rabbanon in a case where Hekdesh benefits. So the Gemara wants to differentiate between d'oraita and d'rabbanan. Obviously, Tosus over here says, well, that's only true. This whole chiluk only applies if you believe that it is d'oraita versus d'rabbanon. He says the only problem with that is, Gemara in Achelik in Sanhedrin, and Perakam the Chuma says that it's Doraita. It is a din Doraita. If it's a din Doraita, that's a much more difficult. How can you differentiate? Why is one Doraita more important than another Doraita? Tosus does not answer the question, but he just points out that this Gemara is assuming that it's Derabanan, and even though we find in other places that the din of not selling it in the Shuk is a din Doraita. Now the Gemara answers up in the end. Ela Amar Rabbi Ami really brings something that we've seen in the really halachos of Nezikin and Shomrim, which is Klom Hik Nezel. That a person can only give give over as a gift or extend the benefit that he owned. The Kohen owns the Bechor for certain things. He's allowed to eat it, he's allowed to sell it, but he can only sell it in a certain manner, he can only eat it in a certain manner, he can only do certain things with it. That's his ownership over this Bechor. If he's Makdish it to Hekdesh, he can only be Makdish what he owned. He only owns the rights with those qualifications. So then when he gives it to Hekdesh, we're not going to change the qualifications. He gave to Hekdesh his ownership. His ownership includes all of these qualifications, including not being Mevazeh, the Bechor. And when he gave it to Hekdesh, it came with that qualification as well, and you can't change that. So if Ami says that that's the answer, in the end is, you can only be Makdish what you own, and he doesn't own the right to be Mevazeh, the Bechor. Since he doesn't own that right, he can't give that over to Hekdesh. Now, the last line of our Mishnah, which is the Gemara is going to deal with now, is Hakol Yecholim Mitarev. Any different types of Zvachim could get mixed up, and you could have a problem. There are only two Zvachim that if they get mixed up, you know for certain which is which. And that's the Asham and the Chatat. The Gemara wants to know, Mishnah Chatat v'Asham. What's so unique about the Chatat and the Asham that they won't get mixed up? The High Zachar v'High Nekeva. The Asham always comes from an Ayo, which is a male Korban, and the Chatat is always comes from a Nekeva, from a female. So why don't you say the same thing by Chatat and Ola? By Chatat, you can have the same differentiation. Chatat's a Nekeva, and Ola is always a Zachar. So Nami Ika, so that you also have that difference there. The Gemara says there, no, Ika Sa'ir Nasi. By the Ola and the Chatat, there is a problem, because we have a case where you have the Sa'ir of the Nasi. That's a Chatat brought by the Nasi. His personal Chatat is a Sa'ir, which is a male animal. So there is a Chatat, which is brought as a male. So the Gemara says, well, if that's the case, why don't you ask that question by the Asham and the Chatat? By the Asham and the Chatat, you have the same problem. You have the possibility of the Sa'ir and Nasi, and you'll have two males there, and then you'll get mixed up. The Gemara says, Ha-Sa'ir v'Ha-Tzemer. No, because the Sa'ir of the Nasi is coming from a Sa'ir, which has hair on it. The Korbanot by the Asham that have wool and not hair, because they're brought from the Kvasim. Since they're brought from the Kvasim, they're going to have wool, and that's going to have Sa'ir. So there is still that distinguishing feature, which is not true of the Ola. The Ola can come from a Sa'ir, and the Chatat Nasi can come from a Sa'ir. There you'll have hair and hair, and you won't be able to differentiate. The Gemara says, alright, what about Pesach v'Asham? Nami, lo mi'arif. You bring a Korban Pesach, and an Asham, they won't commit up. Why? Because a Pesach has to be bought Ben Shana, a Keves Ben Shana, and the Asham has to be bought of an Ayo Ben Shtei Shanim. So you'll always know the difference. You can never have them overlap, because one will be 2 years old, one will be 1 year old. Where it says, Ika Asham Nazir v'Asham Mitzora. There are other Surah Ashamot, like the Nazir of the Mitzora, which can be brought from a Keves, or which are needed to be brought from a Keves, which is a Ben Shana, and not from an Ayo Shtei Shanim. So Mara says that that way, they would get mixed up. So the only two Korbanot, which you'll never get mixed up with, are between an Asham and a Chatat. Chatat because it's female, Asham because it's male. And in the one instance where a Chatat is brought as a male, the Sa'ir of the Nasi, there you still have the distinguishing feature that the Sa'ir of the Nasi has hair, and the Chamot has Tzemer, has wool. V'ibayitema. And the other possibility of answering up this problem by the Pesach and the Asham is, Ika ben Shana. The Mechsek Ben Shtei Shanim. Sometimes a 1 year old, a Keves, that's 1 year old, looks like an Ayo Ben Shtei Shanim. Vika Ben Shtei Shanim, the Mechsek Ben Shana. So that feature is not distinguishing enough that you can say that I would always know the difference between the Pesach and the Asham. Because you have a big Keves and you have a small Ayo. And therefore you won't be able to tell the difference between a 2 year old and a 1 year old. Age is not always the determinant of size. It's not always the determinant of differentiation. So if that's the case, you won't be able to distinguish between an Asham and a Pesach so easily. The only ones that we know for sure that you can distinguish is between the Chatat and the Asham. Right now the next Mishnah begins. Asham Shnitarev Vishlamim. An Asham that gets mixed up with the Shlamim. So let's think, an Asham and a Shlamim are identical in terms of their Matnot Dam. They require Shtei Matanot Shein Arba, and you could do it in the Tzafon, meaning that Asham requires Shchita B'Tzafon, the Shlamim could be Shechted anywhere, but if both of them are Shechted in the Tzafon, they're fine, and you do Shtei Matanot Shein Arba. The difference between them is there's Zman Achila, the time in which they can be consumed. An Asham is Kodshei Kodashim, therefore going to be consumed for Yom V'Laila, whereas the Shlamim is a Kodshim Kalim, can be eaten for Shnei Lamim V'Laila Echad. Now I have an Asham and a Shlamim that I mixed up. What do I do? Rabbi Shimon Omer, Shnehem Yishchatu, you shecht both of them, B'tzafon, in the north, because if you do in the north, the Shlamim is kasher, and an Asham demands that. V'yochlu k'chamush b'em, and then you only eat them for a day and a night. So both of them will be eaten for a single day and a night. Amulo, ein mevin kochim lebei psul. This is the position of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon throughout Shas says that you're allowed to cause kochim to have a psul in them. Therefore, he allows you to shecht the Shlamim, even though it's going to shorten the time period in which you can consume it. Shlamim should really be eaten for 2 days and one night. Nevertheless, in this case, Rabbi Shimon says, we have no choice. Therefore, you can eat it for a day and a night, and it'll get its time period shortened, and you're going to be posel the korban before its time. Come and say, no, you can't do that. You can't be bring the kochim lebei psul. So then what do? You have to wait. You have to wait until they get a mum in them, and then you have to redeem them, and with the more expensive amount, you have to bring two korbanot afterwards. Nitarvu chatichot bechatichot. If you have different types of tibin slabs of meat, pieces of meat that were mixed up, kochei kodashim bekochei kalim, but they were not of the same category of Kodesh. One was Kodesh Kodeshim, one was Kodeshim Kalim. So Nechalim liyom echad, v'nechalim l'shnei yamim v'layla echad. They were eaten for the those that are eaten for 1 day, Kodeshei Kodeshim, that are mixed up with those that are eaten for Shnei Yamim V'Layla Echad. The exclusion of a Todah, which is also eaten for Yom V'Layla, and would be the exact same as a Kodeshei Kodeshim. So here we're talking like shlamim and an asham, like our case over here. So then yochlu kechamur b'shem. Then here the chachamim agree with Rabbi Shimon that you have to eat it. You can only eat it for a day and a night. We're not going to allow you to eat it beyond that point in time because you have a safek of notar. You have a safek that you're eating something after the time period. What's the other solution to redeem it? Redemption only can take place when the animal's still alive. Now we have shchita, we have meat in front of us. There is no such thing as pidyon. There's no such thing as yirat shistavu. Here we have no choice. There's no other alternative. The chachamim agreed to Rabbi Shimon that we limit the amount of time you can consume it. Consume it within the first day and night, and then after that, everything will be considered psul. We'll wait for it to be psul until the second day, and then we'll burn it all as if it is notar. Tani tana kamei to Rav. We had a bright that was laid out in front of Rav by the Talmidim. Shvi'it ein lochim b'damei chuma. With Shvi'it, during Shvi'it, one cannot purchase with monies of Shvi'it chuma. Mipnei shim'atim be'achilata. Because you reduce the amount of time in which the Shvi'it can now, the chuma can be consumed. So according to Rashi, the case over here is talking about a case where you have monies of Shvi'it. Monies of Shvi'it have to be nidba'er. There's something called biur Shvi'it that happens when kalal chayam in a sadeh, when there's no longer any produce out in the field, because you have to eliminate the Shvi'it from the world once it's not available out in the open fields. So there's a biur Shvi'it. So there's an end period until which Shvi'it can be consumed. Truma, on the other hand, we have to be talking about Truma from other years, not the years of Shvi'it, because during Shvi'it, the produce is poter mi Truma. So we're talking about any of the other 6 years. Truma can be eaten forever. Truma has no expiration date on it. It has no time in which that it's going to go bad and giving up the time. So now, if I take monies of Shvi'it and I purchase Truma with it, I now put an expiration date on the Truma. The same expiration date that's going to apply to the Shvi'it is now going to apply to this Truma, which before had no expiration date on it. That's the way Rashi learns the question of the Gemara over here. Tosfos introduces additional questions here in the Gemara. He says, well, if this is the case, maybe Truma before Pesach, you shouldn't be able to make it into Chametz, because then you're going to reduce the amount of time you can consume the Truma. Once it becomes Chametz, it's going to be limited till Pesach. So over there, he says, maybe it's different, because by Chametz, what happened naturally? There's a natural process of chimutz would happen even if you didn't accelerate the chimutz. So therefore, you're only accelerating a natural process, and that's why it's permitted. The other possibility is, and Tosfos talks about this idea, that versus over here, where it's only a one-way street. Over there, by the case of chametz, the truma is also benefiting. It's becoming chametz, and it's a better product now. So over there, we would say that we allow you to do it. In a case where the truma gets no benefit from the reduction in the period of time, maybe we would say no. So Amruah kam Rabbanan kamei de Rabbo. Rabbanan said this over here in front of Rabbo, or the other Gersa's Rabbo. Had to look Rabbi Shimon. This Braita that was said in front of Rav, it's not like Rabbi Shimon. De'ik Rabbi Shimon, if you hold like Rabbi Shimon, damar mevin kochim de'vei psul, you're allowed to bring kochim faster to the point of psul, then over here too, allow the truma to be bought with the money of Shvi'it. Okay, you're accelerating the problem of truma becoming psul, having an expiration date. That's fine. Rabbi Shimon says that's fine. So I'm like, oh, I feel tamar Rabbi Shimon. No, even Rabbi Shimon could be the author of that position in the Braita, because, hani mili di'evit. Rabbi Shimon's position is only when bid di'evit. Bid di'evit in a situation where we're caught and we have a mix up between a sham and a shlamim, they're going to allow you to bring kochim levei psul. B'chatchila, to go and purchase truma with monies of Shvi'it, that we're not going to permit you to do. That we're not going to allow to happen over here. That Rabbi Shimon even agrees that ain't maybe in kochim levei psul. Umar says, b'chatchila lo. Is that really true? That Rabbi Shimon doesn't believe that you can, l'chatchila, when we ask the question, go ahead and maybe all the day psul, only b'di'evit. I'll ask, etve abaye, but I ask a question. V'kulan risha'in, kohanim lishnot b'achilatan. Kohanim have a right to do whatever they want with the kochim that they have. L'achlan they can eat it roasted, shlukim, they can eat it boiled, umuvushalim, or boiled, heavily boiled. V'latei l'tochan tavlei chulin, they can put in spices of chulin, v'tavlei truma, divrei Rabbi Shmo, and even spices of truma. Whoa, you're putting spices of truma to kochim. Kochim are going to expire. Kochim either lasts for a day and a night, or they last for 2 days and a night. That will give an expiry date to the tavlin, to the spices of truma. How come you're allowed over there to create an expiration of truma? Well, who is this? The author of that position must be Rabbi Shimon, because he's the only one who allows you to be mevi kochim the day psul. Or the fact that there's an alternative girsa that says divrei Rabbi Shimon over here, so then obviously it's the member of Rabbi Shimon. If that's the case, he says l'chatchila, go ahead and spice up your kochim, even though it's going to come the day psul. He says amalei, what do you mean? That's not a question. Anach l'truma tavlin derabonon. You're talking about truma tavlin. Truma tavlin is only a din derabonon, because truma is only chay midoraita, at least according to most Rishonim. Only for tvuah, tirosh, and yitzhar, for grains, for grapes or grape juice and wine, and for yitzhar, olives and olive oil. Everything else is a din d'rabbanan. Some Rishonim believe that maybe fruits also have a din d'oraita, but yerek, vegetables, and spices, everybody agrees that it's truma d'rabbanan. Talking about truma d'rabbanan, what are you asking me a question for? So you can bring truma d'rabbanan on the day psul, okay. But that doesn't prove to me anything about Rabbi Shimon's opinion when it comes to d'oraita. When it comes to truma d'oraita, maybe the chatchila says you can't bring it, maybe on the day psul. All right, tomorrow we'll continue with further questions from Abaye on this position of Rabba, who says that Rabbi Shimon does not believe l'chatchila that you're allowed to be mevi kochim l'day psul.